Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction Company is holding a fall online-only auction Tuesday, October 8th. Register today at www.mdauction.com for the October 8th online auction. Bidding is open now, and lots begin closing at 10 a.m. Tuesday, October 8th. View auction items online at www.mdauction.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, on this Thursday night. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. It's the Kentucky game, the game that we have spent months talking about, in effect. We have really pointed to this game the entire offseason as this is when Ole Miss's season truly begins. And if it doesn't begin at this point, something went terribly, terribly wrong. Well, as you guys know, nothing went wrong at all. And so here we are, the season getting real for Ole Miss starting on Saturday. So I've got keys to the game for you. I've got four things that I am watching the most for Ole Miss in this game. If they're going to beat Kentucky, here are the four things that I am most paying attention to. And then we got the injury report. How is Lane Kiffin going to handle injury reports? I think there's some trolling involved, but also we did learn some things in the injury report. We'll talk about that and, of course, get to your comments on this edition of the podcast. Please subscribe if you have not already wherever you get your podcast. Your phone has a podcast app on it. Search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. If you're listening or watching on YouTube, like, leave a comment, all that good stuff as well. At the end, we'll be doing score predictions. First winner, hat's been sent. Second winner, be on the lookout for an email so I can tell you how to get yours. And then, obviously, this will be a third as well. So save it till the end, though. Save it to the end, and we'll get your score predictions, and the winner will receive a hat on me. Well, not really on me, a hat on the College Corner, just via me. College Corner store there in Oxford off of Sisk Avenue. Also, there's a couple of them here in the Jackson area. And then also online, collegecornerstore.com. That is how you can, get some game day gear. But again, score prediction, if you win, you will get a hat on me and the College Corner. So again, my name is Michael Borky. Please follow me on social media, by the way, if you have not already. And this edition of the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm, DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, for all of your personal injury, small business, or contract dispute needs. There is, he's in Saltillo, Mississippi, and I know there's a lot of, personal injury attorneys out there. This is the one that you need to save, that you need to keep in your phone, that you need to have, because one day something like this could happen to you. I hope it doesn't, but that day could come, and you don't want to be out in the cold, or you don't want to be left with somebody that won't want to actually service you in the best way possible. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm will do that. 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm in Saltillo, Mississippi, but they can service you anywhere in this state for all of your personal injury, small business, legal issues, or contract disputes. DJ Gregory bringing you the Rebel Report. So we got our first look at the injury report for Ole Miss, and I saw some people, and I understand why, people that don't cover the team intimately, look at that report and think, oh my gosh, Ole Miss is really banged up. And yes, but also a whole lot of no mixed in there as well. Almost 30 guys were listed on Ole Miss's injury report. The overwhelming majority of them are either going to play, and they are listed as probable, which means they're going to play, or they are guys that are like walk-ons. But we did actually learn some things on this injury report. So when it comes to players being out, Cedric Beavers, Isaiah Hartrup, Devin Price, Logan Diggs, Cam East, Jeremy Janes, Joshua Pfeiffer, and Hudson Wolf. Hudson Wolf was not going to have an impact on this team really anyway, but I don't think that the you can expect him to be back, frankly. But either way, eight guys listed as out. One of them would be possibly getting rotational snaps on Saturday if they were available. Not possibly. Jeremy James would get some snaps on Saturday. But one of the eight are somebody that would actually see the field in any meaningful way. So Jeremy James still officially out. Everybody else is, with all due respect to the players and the young men, not a concern for Saturday. Two doubtfuls. Both of these are players that would definitely get snaps. Lewis Moore and Akello Stone. Now, Moore, to me, more important than Stone, but both of them would actually play on Saturday. Moore not being available for Ole Miss, I think, would be a loss. I think he's a good player. Now, they have some pretty functional depth there in the back end of their defense, but that actually, him being doubtful, if that gets downgraded to out, not ideal. For Ole Miss. Stone, I think that they can give or take. You love the depth that he provides, but I do think that they have enough depth there to survive the one absence when it comes to a second or third team guy on the defensive line. A pair of questionables, Aiden Williams and Isaiah Hamilton. Again, Hamilton, if he's unable to go, that is a blow to the Ole Miss secondary. I think they have less workable depth at corner than they do at safety. So you hope that that questionable turns into being active on Saturday. And then the list of probables. Walter Nolan, TJ Dottery, Brandon Turnage, Daquan Wright, Jordan Watkins, Jared Ivey, Chris Graves, JJ Pegues, Salathiel Hemphill, as a tight end apparently for Ole Miss. I learned that today or when this injury report came out. Jaden Williams, Caleb Warren, Micah Pettis, Derquan Scott, Nate Kaleppo. So, yeah, the entire offensive line is probable for Ole Miss on Saturday. So I do think there's a little bit of trolling there with the volume of probables listed. However, there's still a couple of things to take away from it. Number one, you have the entire starting offensive and defensive lines back. And that was not always a guarantee going into this game. You had the Warren injury. Sounds like he's going to play. You had the Scott injury. If they're both listed as probable, they're going to play. You have Walter Nolan listed as probable. You have Jared Ivey, who said on his podcast that he's going to play. JJ Pegues is going to play. So, you know, how healthy they are, we'll talk about that in a second. But the fact that they are all intact for the first time this year, that they are all intact, is obviously a very good thing. Now, the offensive line, this group hasn't played many games. Hadn't really played together yet because of those injuries, but they're all there. And that is obviously a very positive and encouraging sign. Dottery back, that is something that we kind of expected, although he didn't play last week. Daquan Wright recovering from the torn ACL, MCL, and PCL just a week ago and magically playing in this game as well. But this, all in all, is a positive injury report for Ole Miss, considering how banged up they looked last week against Georgia Southern. Having everybody that they have on the lines of scrimmage intact is a positive for Ole Miss. We'll see if Hamilton and Moore can go. Doubtful's not encouraging with Moore, but those two guys are something to keep an eye on with Ole Miss on Saturday. But all in all, despite a little bit of light trolling, or at least I think a little bit of light trolling with the volume of guys that were put on this injury report, generally a positive one for Ole Miss going into this game. And speaking of the game, here are my keys. I've got four keys. One of them is a free space. Here are the keys to the game for Ole Miss as they take on Kentucky. Number one is effective health. We just talked about the injury report, and all of those guys are going to play, but how effective will they actually be? I think this Kentucky team is going to try to, as I told you guys the other day, it's pretty obvious at this point. It's not an explosive Kentucky offense. I think they're going to try to bleed clock and run the football right at Ole Miss. And so can Pegues give you quality snaps? I know he's going to be on the field, but is that shoulder good enough for him to be effective, really effective? Is Walter Nolan's, I guess it was his ankle, his lower leg, is he going to be effective? How is Ivy coming off of his injury? What is their effective health like? Same thing on the offensive line. I know they're all intact, but this is a really quality Kentucky defensive front. This is a Kentucky defensive front that will be able to stop the run, or has demonstrated the ability to stop the run. They can get after the quarterback. They're good up there. So, yes, having the entire offensive line sans Jeremy James, who would have been a rotational piece, but having the entire starting offensive line intact is a very good thing for Ole Miss. But how effective will they be coming off of their injuries? We'll just have to see. So that's kind of a free space. So I know they're healthy, but how effective will that health actually be? Health is a free space. I think key number one is that they have to win first down on defense. Winning first down on defense is so, so big for Ole Miss. And I know that's kind of like an obvious, well, yeah, you want to win every down, of course. But I think especially important for Ole Miss, if they can get Kentucky off of schedule, if they can force Vandegrift into obvious passing situations. For some reason, Kentucky's offensive line, not particularly good in pass protection, apparently. Run block much better than they do pass protect. Getting Kentucky into passing downs is that's how you win the game for Ole Miss. If they can get Kentucky into obvious passing downs, they're going to win. Because I think, again, effective health is a thing, but they'll be able to get after Vandegrift if they force him into obvious passing downs. I really like this Ole Miss front, and we're going to get to see Pete Golding scheme somebody up for the first time, really, especially when it comes to pressures. But if they're able to stop the run and win first down and force Kentucky into second and 10, third and 8, you know, things like that, I think it's ball game. I don't think Kentucky is equipped offensively to win on the shoulders of their quarterback throwing the football down the field. So winning first down on defense for Ole Miss is huge. And that's something that we'll find out pretty early if Ole Miss is physically able to continue to dominate and run defense the way that they have. Number two, make them respect the run. I think this is a big Jackson Dart game, and although Kentucky's defense hasn't given up, what, more than 160 yards through the air this season, I don't think that Ole Miss is going to have 300 rushing yards and you're going to have Parrish with a buck 70 and all that. I think that you're going to have to make them respect that you can run the football, despite what I just said, where I think that Ole Miss is going to have to, like Jackson, this is a Jackson Dart game. This is a receivers game. Because if Kentucky has to respect the run, then regardless of where Harrison is on the field, I think that Ole Miss has matchup favorability, especially if Kentucky's going to run zone against anybody. And now maybe they put two safeties and run two deep safeties and try to make Ole Miss run the football or throw underneath to get there. So that's a possible way that Kentucky's going to try to attack this Ole Miss offense. But if you can run the football effectively, if Jackson Dart can keep the defense honest running the football, they haven't used him much in the run game this year. I think that you might see him some as well to keep Kentucky honest. Again, I don't think you have to run for 250 or whatever, but you have to be able to do it. Run the football with relative effectiveness because, as I'm going to say every week all season long, I love Ole Miss's matchup with quarterback and pass catchers versus every defense they play, including this Kentucky defense, with a really legitimately good corner on that side of the ball. So I still love Ole Miss's matchup there. Can you force Kentucky to respect the run? If that answer is yes, and you're going to start getting one-on-one matchups with Wells and Harris on the outside, then I think it's ball game for Ole Miss there as well. And finally, somebody besides Trey Harris has to step up in this game, depending on how they're going to try to defend him. Now, Kentucky apparently does not move Harrison around a lot. He's not like a shadow, so you're not going to see him lined up on Harris playing one-on-one, apparently, at least according to the person that we talked to on the radio show that covers the team earlier this week. They run a lot of zone, and they're not, or they haven't moved him around to best receiver like you see in the NFL so often. But if they do that, or if they try to bracket Trey Harris, then who else is it going to be? Is this going to be a big Juice Wells game? I think that's possible. The tight ends have been kind of quiet over the last couple of weeks, but you know what they're capable of. Is this going to be a big Priestcorn or Wright game or Watkins over the middle? Those are the kind of guys that I think have an opportunity to have really big games this week, because Kentucky, I assume, is going to try to make literally anybody besides Trey Harris beat them because of how dominant he's been. So if they try to take Harris away, who's it going to be, and how is Ole Miss going to scheme that up? I have it's not blind faith because they've proven it, but I simply believe in Kiffin and Weiss Jr. and their scheme and their quarterback. But Kentucky's going to try to take Harris away, I think. If they don't, they're losing anyway. But if they do, who is going to be that reliable pass catcher that can shoulder some of that load? They've got capable ones. I'm just curious to find out who it's going to be. This is a really exciting game. I mean, what an opportunity this is for Ole Miss to show the country that the first 4 weeks of dominance have been because they are a great team and not just because of their schedule. This is an opportunity for Jackson Dart he's already a national name, but to really become one. If Ole Miss can dominate Kentucky the way the odds makers think that they're going to, then you're going to sense a narrative shift on an already top six team in college football. This is the get respect kind of win for Ole Miss if they're able to pull that off. We'll see if they can. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So if your Mississippi business is in the market for office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage and data security, they've got you covered. Again, check them out online, absms.com, and tell them I sent you, and you'll get that complimentary office technology assessment. Podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. See, this me being late stuff is just getting ridiculous at this point. I again, was not late. Not even for a second, I was not late. I was not late. And even if I was, so what? Got a four-year-old I'm trying to wrangle up and get to bed. But I wasn't late. I think you guys got to pick a new angle on that one. You know, the Kentucky Sports Radio guys are getting their mileage out of the whole Ole Miss Stadium thing, but how much mileage does that give the fans and team? I wonder if the Ole Miss media team would consider that. Well, if the team needs some joker on the radio in Kentucky to make them inspired to play well on Saturday, then Ole Miss is screwed this year anyway. Playing their first SEC game after a four-game preseason should fire them up enough. Frankly, honestly, the same thing with the fans too. I mean, if you guys weren't planning on creating an environment until, again, some guy on the radio in Kentucky said that your environment's not good, well, that's a bad sign on your part. That's on you. But if I were Ole Miss, I would play that before the game. I 100% would play that on the video board before the game. Absolutely, I would, because why not? Why not? And yeah, I'm sure they're loving the views and the clicks and the retweets and the comments and all that on those on that video. So anyway, this game will be a 13-10 Ole Miss leading at halftime, but they will pull away and win 31-10 in the second half. Your score predictions are noted. They are noted. This game is two matchups. It's if either offensive line can hold up. And I think that Ole Miss is much better in pass protection than they are run blocking to this point. And I did see a comment on the last video that I actually didn't reply to there, so I'll reply here. Yes, they have run for 250 yards per game. But it's also fair to question their run blocking ability when Kentucky is significantly better than if you combined all four of the teams that Ole Miss has played and picked all their best players, probably still wouldn't have a defense, especially up front, like Kentucky has. So, look, if they run the ball really effectively on Saturday, then we're having a different conversation. But I think that they have some things to prove there. They haven't looked as good there as they have protecting Dart to this point. So, team-wise, aren't they fairly healthy? I think, they're banged up at the moment. They are. A lot of guys just kind of dealing with some nagging stuff, but it's football. Also a good test for the Ole Miss secondary with their wide receivers, but you're not sold on Brock being anything close to a good quarterback. He has not proven that to this point. He has not proven that or shown that at all to this point. And it's not like they've only played Georgia. No, House is good throughout. It's a good show throughout. Vandergriff is averaging 137.5 yards passing per game. Harris has nearly 100 more receiving yards and more touchdowns. Yeah. We've seen Mark Stoops' teams fold a lot on the road in the past. Teams like Georgia and Tennessee have embarrassed them recently. I think that it is more likely that Ole Miss beats Kentucky by 40 than Kentucky beats Ole Miss. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think that they can't that they can't beat them or that they can't keep it close, because they can, both of those things. But if you told me to pick which one was more likely, then it would be that. Based on his play so far, Vandergriff may be the most ridiculous NIL deal of the offseason outside of the UNLV fiasco. Is he getting paid like a lot? I would be surprised if he's like a high dollar quarterback. I'd be very surprised if he's like super high dollar. Jared Ivey back for the game where he made the play of the season in 2022. And he's gotten so much better since then too. Jackson Dart, I mean, go back and watch that game and watch Jackson Dart play now. It's like a very different, it's like he's a completely different player. You commend Hudson for sticking around, mostly with his health luck. The moment he got healthy, would have jumped ship. Yeah. Think Ole Miss will come out swinging again. They script the first drive so well. Might be the best coaching staff in the country at scripting their first couple of possessions, truly. You think there was a hint of frustration and anger with the first injury report? Certainly a little trolling. What kind of score do I think would heighten my expectations for this team? That's a good question. If they hold Kentucky defensively to 10 or fewer, like if they really just keep them off the scoreboard, and if it's like 38-10 or 38-7 or worse, then that would be that would heighten my expectations. If it's true dominance, like start to finish dominance like that, then that would change my expectations. When's the next update to the injury report? I thought they were supposed to do it every day, but I have not seen an update today. I thought it was supposed to be Wednesday and then every day leading up to the game, but I guess I'm wrong. You think we finally start seeing some more Bentley snaps? If not this weekend, I think so soon. Jackson Dart, after the Georgia Southern game, kind of alluded to that he's been working through some things and that they're, I think so. Maybe not as much as Parrish to this point, because Parrish has done nothing to get carries taken away from him. He's running well and he's pass protecting well. It's hard to take him out of the game. But yes, I do, based on kind of trying to read between the lines of what Jackson said, yes, I do think that there's going to be more Bentley soon. Irrelevant to Saturday, but DraftKings opened Ole Miss minus 11 at South Carolina. Vegas seems to love Ole Miss right now. So I think once the breakaway happens, there will be a mandatory injury report every game week? Yes. There basically already is one right now, but yes. Kind of shocked Keon Brown stayed at Kentucky. some guys like being where they are. You know, that's kind of the deal with this, with everybody just losing their absolute minds about Southern Cal's backup defensive tackle hanging it up to redshirt because he's going to play for his seventh school in 8 years. Four different high schools, three colleges. Like, everybody pretending like they care that Bear Alexander is not going to back up, be on the backup defensive line at USC anymore. What gets lost in all of that is not every player leaves every year. I mean, people are exaggerate. There is a problem. I'm not saying there's not a problem. They need to do things. They need to collectively bargain. That's the only way. People talking about salary caps, just why don't you cap NIL? Well, because you can't. This is America. You can't do that without collective bargaining, and I'm sick of talking about that. But just the obsessive whining, oh, players aren't loyal anymore. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. I mean, I see NFL players loyal to franchises. You're telling me that Jared Ivey's not loyal to Ole Miss? I promise you he could have hit the portal and gotten more money than what he's getting from Ole Miss this year. I promise you he could have. Promise. Jackson Dart could have. I promise. I don't know what Trey Harris is making, but these guys could have leveraged the portal and pulled a Quinshon if they wanted to. This whole Ole Miss team could have done that, and they chose not to. You have Ole Miss offensive linemen that knew they were getting recruited over that stayed anyway. That they knew that they were getting recruited over, and they stayed anyway. Four of last year's Ole Miss starting offensive line had eligibility left, and all of them returned despite them signing four offensive linemen out of the portal. But you've got all these people, oh, these guys aren't loyal. Money's ruined everything. These guys aren't loyal. I mean, not every player is loyal. You've got 100 players on 130 teams. Yes, guys are going to leave. Players do hit the portal, but more stay. Do 85 players at every school hit the portal every year? Is every school signing 85 players a year? No. So I am sick of the obsessive, forgive my language, earmuffs if you have kids in the car, the obsessive bitching about college football and how broken it all is. Watch the games. Log off of Twitter and just put the game on Saturday and nothing will change. Like, it's still football. It's still college football. This season's been great to this point. The first 4 weeks have been wildly entertaining, just like they always are. Oh my gosh, Bear Alexander. Like, you actually care about Bear. You don't care about him. You don't care if he's playing for USC or not. Nobody does. Nobody cares if Creed Whittemore is playing for Mississippi State. He barely got on the field anyway. He barely played. That's why he's leaving. I don't know. Everybody's just constantly complaining. And then the games happen and they're awesome. It's like, just log off Twitter. Just get off Twitter. And the games are beautiful, like they've always been. There are broken things about it, but games still happen and they're still awesome. Sorry, I'm off my soapbox. It's just, God, we wait all offseason for the season to begin. When the season begins, we complain because Bear Alexander hits the transfer portal. Like, anybody has ever actually, like, nobody complaining about him have watched him play. They don't even know what jersey number he is. They have no idea what he does or what he's capable of, or really, frankly, what he's not capable of. Anyway, random thought. You can't remember a time where the football programs of Ole Miss and State were going in the opposite directions. Has there been a similar situation in recent times? Absolutely, there has been. I don't think to this extreme, but yes, there have been times where Ole Miss has been on an upward trajectory and State's been on a downward trajectory and State's been on an upward and Ole Miss has been on a downward. That has absolutely happened before. 2010 and 2011 for Ole Miss were a disaster. That was as Dan Mullen was kind of building at Mississippi State. So it's been like that in the past. This extreme, I don't think it's ever been like this. Not since my father was alive, so. Also, don't kick it to Brown. Should have learned their lesson from 2022. Yeah. Penn State had a good front seven also. Ole Miss is a lot better now. They are. You think they handle it well and put up another W? Remember how good the Penn State defense was coming into the Peach Bowl and made adjustments and torched them. Kentucky will be no different. I do wonder if, because this is Ole Miss's first real challenge, there might be like a bit of a shell shock early on. Because Kentucky's played, you know, somebody legitimate, right? I mean, they've played two legitimate teams. South Carolina whooped them. South Carolina's defensive front absolutely dominating Kentucky should be really encouraging for you guys, by the way, because South Carolina's got a really good defensive line. I think Ole Miss's is better overall, depth-wise anyway. But South Carolina's legit up front, and they absolutely owned Kentucky. So that should be an encouraging thing. But Kentucky's played legitimate teams, two of them so far this year. And Ole Miss has not. So I wonder if, like, there's a little bit of initial shock, like, whoa, wait a minute, this is not what I'm used to. But Ole Miss is just filled with so many veterans that maybe not. You want to see what the short yardage looks like? Everyone thinks McGee's package is fun until someone figures it out or he gets hurt. I am curious about that as well. When they have a third and one situation and they need it, who is it? If they come out like a whole different animal on Saturday, hard to be highly motivated against teams like they have been playing. Of course, Kentucky is a whole different animal from what they've played. And like I say all the time, the best thing about Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss is you know what to expect. You know exactly what to expect from a Lane Kiffin-coached Ole Miss team. Pat, thank you for the super chat, man. I appreciate you for Little Borky's College Fund. Thank you. Thank you very much. It is not growing like it should, but that's a conversation for an economics podcast, I guess. Not this one. If Ole Miss lost, how did it happen? They were unable to stop the run. They turned it over. Turnovers and allowing Kentucky to reduce the amount of possessions Ole Miss has. So inability to stop the run and turning the football over. That's how it happened. They've scored 6 and 12 in league play. You think 17 points is the absolute max that they can score? Probably. McGee's is fun to watch, but the Big Rob versus Memphis in 2015 is still in the back of your mind. Yeah. Let Dart run, but by God, tell him to keep the helmet on until the sideline and slide. Slide, Jackson. We think they get to 68, 69,000 Saturday. I think 68. Yeah. It's a nightmare matchup for Kentucky. If you see Ole Miss at minus 15 and a half, take it. Yeah, it's gone up in most places, hasn't it, to like 17? Side note, hope all the fans at the Alabama game enjoy the wait times to get in with a certain guest in attendance. Oh, yeah, you better get to the gate early. Great uniforms this weekend, too, with the powder white. They've been a little unpredictable with that this year. Thought they'd save it for LSU. Powder red gray for LSU is what they need to wear. I hope they do, because that uniform matchup with LSU looks just stunning. Ole Miss needs to show their physical up front on both lines of scrimmage, show they can have a balanced running game and create some space, not worried about Dart or the receivers. I am far more confident in the defensive line, even the banged up one, than the offensive line. But, I've been wrong before, and if they prove me wrong, good. Good. Saturday after Georgia-Bama, the narrative will be Kirby's lost the program, dynasty is over, or we got to fire DeBoer. He's not the guy, Paul. Yeah, you know, I don't necessarily think that Kalen DeBoer's got the pressure that people say that he's got. It's his fifth game as coach at Alabama, and it's Georgia. If he loses this game, having an opinion about Kalen DeBoer one way or the other would be wrong. But Kirby has really struggled against Alabama. That's been the only knock against him, really. Yes, the game was sold out before the Kentucky radio host said the crowd wasn't loud. Yes, it was. You're picking Georgia to win at Bama. I am too. Milroe cannot stand in the pocket and throw a clean pass to save his life. Yeah, I saw somebody say that the winner of this game vaults to QB1. And I know Milroe's athletic, but he's not going to be the first quarterback drafted. Ole Miss is 29-13-1 all time against Kentucky. But you guys know me. I think history could not possibly matter less. Thoughts on Arkansas A&M and Oklahoma Auburn? The injury report showed that Oklahoma's top five receivers are all out for this game. All five of them, like, seriously, are out for this game, listed as out for this game. So you have a true freshman quarterback making his first start without all of his weapons. It's going to be a slog. I mean, frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn won that game. 14-10, something like that, final score. I'm still picking Oklahoma to win the game, but I don't love it just because of the aforementioned. Arkansas, Texas A&M. Oh boy. Is Texas A&M bad? I can't figure that out. Just really struggled with Bowling Green. I know they beat Notre Dame. I understand it. I don't know. I don't know what I think is going to happen in that game. I really like how Arkansas has been scheming Green, but I think A&M's got by far the most defensive talent that he's seen to this point. So that game always gets weird too. If Ole Miss ran for over 180 yards on 4.8 per carry, would that settle some doubts? Absolutely it would. That'd be a great day on the ground against this front. Elite, actually. What is the minimum margin of victory you would think would constitute a success? I know a win is a win, but if they're chasing a title, you think style points matter? Two touchdowns or more. And now, look, you know, winning an SEC game by 10 would be fine. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, guys, they're screwed because they won by double digits. But, yeah, anything less than two touchdowns would make me wonder, you know, you had this preseason, this was your first SEC game, and, you know, this is not a particularly good Kentucky team, and you're only – you know, you're scraping by with a win. That's nice in the moment, but is this a championship team? I don't know. What would kind of be my reaction there? It was a great game in 22 between two teams who did not play their best. Ole Miss blew chances to put it away, and then Will Levis turnover machine. Absolutely. Yes, I think punting right now for Ole Miss could be better. It could be better. You would love to see Ole Miss win something like 42-14. I imagine that you would, my friend. Good to see you, Tim. If Ole Miss gets a big lead, you wonder how much they throttle it down. I'd bet not at all. Over under Jackson Dart, 314.5 passing yards. Over. You think Kentucky will likely shut down Ole Miss's running game? It's certainly possible. I think Ole Miss has schemed too well to be entirely shut down running the football, with the exception of, like, when they play Georgia. Kentucky's got dudes, but I don't think that they've got Georgia dudes. Maybe I'm wrong. If Tennessee were playing at home against Kentucky, that line would maybe be in the 20s. Something like that. If Kentucky's defensive front can get through the suspect Ole Miss pass protection, it'll be a long day. Maybe I'm missing it. I am not. I don't think that they're bad, and I don't think they're suspect in pass protection, at least not yet anyway. Now, if they struggle on Saturday, then, of course, you know, with new information, you're free to change your mind, you know. But I don't think I'd call their pass protection suspect as of this moment. State will be destroyed by Texas. Yes, they will. If they keep it, if they keep it within four touchdowns, then it's a gigantic win for Jeff Lebby. That's how bad they are at this point. The regular season is ruined by playoff expansion. Meanwhile, Georgia-Bama is the most hyped regular season game in a few years. Of course, and it's going to draw a huge number, and it's going to be an awesome game. That was always such a dumb concept, that the regular season is going to be ruined, as if Georgia-Alabama is not going to be unbelievable on Saturday. Give me a break. That was always dumb. It's the furthest apart Ole Miss and State has been since the 60s or 70s, I agree. All Kentucky has to do is break down the pass protect and make Dart make short passes, and the explosive air attack is over. Counterpoint, what do you think Trey Harris, Juice Wells, Jordan Watkins do, like, on quick hitters? I don't think you've watched enough Ole Miss football over the years, Kentucky fan in the chat. Because if you think that Ole Miss's passing offense is exclusively just run fast, throw ball deep, then frankly, Kentucky fan in the chat, you don't know ball. Trey Harris is at his best, in my opinion, on the short routes. Now, he's basically good at everything at this point, but when he has the ball in traffic, when he has to be physical, that, I mean, his body control and his first step is so good, and physically he's, yeah, I'm just going to disagree with you there. All they have to do is make Jackson Dart complete passes to Trey Harris and Juice Wells. That's still not necessarily a winning formula, because those are guys that you want to have the ball where they have to beat one defender, where you get them the ball fast and they're out in space with a one-on-one matchup, because those guys are going to win them more often than not. Wonder how Greg Sankey feels watching Ole Miss bury State despite his best efforts with Leo Lewis. Hypothetical, there's an employee at an incentive-based company that had a previous agreement before the fiscal year. He outperforms and asks for a raise, gets denied, then leaves, claiming his boss didn't honor their side of the agreement. The boss says otherwise. Who's in the right? I guess you're painting this in the same way that the UCLA quarterback did. I have a take on that you guys probably aren't going to agree with. I think that now that the facts are out and that he did not have a contract with UNLV's collective, he needs to play. And I think he's a quitter. Football, I often compare athletes to us regular working people. It's an apples to oranges comparison. Different, but they're both round things that you eat, so kind of similar. But football, a football season, is a finite amount of time. There is a beginning and there is an end. I'm going to work with Super Talk until something happens, but for now, my agreement with them is I work 12 months a year every year until whenever. So I'm expected to work all the time. With football, you have a season, a finite start and a finite end, or a definitive start and a finite end, right? And the season has begun. He is the quarterback of his team, and he did not have a signed contract. Now, is it really crappy that a coach allegedly offered him or told him he would get a certain amount of money when he showed up? If that is true, then yes, that is unfortunate. However, he and his agent, who's not even a real agent, and his family should have known that a coach can't do that, for one, and two, you did not have a contract. And if you did not have a contract, then that is on you. It is exclusively the player's fault that he did not have a contract, because NIL deals are contracts. They are contracts. The Grove Collective gives very detailed contracts to its athletes. They can't get out of those contracts. It's very legally defined and specific. This player did not have one. And 3 games into his season, as the quarterback of his team, without a contract, his agent, who's not even a real agent, is going to try to play hardball with the school, even though he had no contract with them. I think it's quitting. It sucks that happened, but suck it up and play. Use your agent and tell him to get you marketing deals. But this idea that it's all UNLV's fault is crap now that all the facts are out. He never had or signed a contract. Never had one. So I'm sorry if you did not have one and you're 3 games into the season and they won't give you one, but you did not have one and the season has begun. That to me is quitting. Does it suck? Yes. Life sucks. The real world sucks. People are always going to try to get one over on you for the rest of your life. Suck it up. Your agent was an idiot, is an idiot. You guys screwed up. You went to a place without a contract. Play. Because it's your fault that you didn't have a contract. So play. Instead, he quit on his team. South Carolina wasn't supposed to win against Kentucky, and they did. Well, South Carolina is better than Kentucky. And yes, transitive property is not concrete in college football. You still think it's 52-13 Rebs? That would be... That would be... I would be surprised at that result in a good way, obviously. Seems like Clemson, USC, and Ohio State have historically waltzed into the top 10 playing mediocre schedules, yet Ole Miss seems to be the only team getting scrutiny for having a weak schedule. Just like Ole Miss was the only program that wasn't allowed to, before NIL, wasn't allowed to recruit good players without it being shady. If Auburn wins, he will praise himself more than his players. I feel like at this point, John Cohen's got a PR person working with him, or at least he should. Sorry for the long pause. There's just a back and forth going on in the comments. I'm trying to figure out what's directed to me and what's directed at the Kentucky fan in here. Marcel Reed is a dog. He's a good player. I think that Florida made him look better than he is, though. How weird a feeling is it that State is about to be beat by a Manning? It'll be the fourth Manning to beat State. That's got to be a record. Been working out in the mornings. Makes you feel better? Yeah. That's the best time to do it. It's the second you wake up. You still wait and see? And if I skipped over your messages, I'm sorry. I'm not going to, read a back and forth with the Kentucky fan. Sorry. So if I missed one, I'm not ignoring you, I promise. You're still waiting to see on the Ole Miss ground game when they have to get tough yards. Open space running has always been great under Kiffin, no doubt. See both tight ends having a big game. They're going to have to. Going to have to is a strong word. I think they're going to have to use them a lot as well in blocking as well. Haven't seen the tight ends much, and they're very dangerous. They are. And he only has, talking about the UNLV quarterback, 1 year left to make money because he sure is not playing in the NFL. And look, I understand that. It's, well, this is his last chance. I understand, but you've committed yourself to your team and you quit on them because you realized, or you realized that you either hired an agent that's an idiot or you screwed up and you're now costing your team because of a personal mistake that you made. And I don't like that. You still can make money. You're a ranked team. Use that agent or get a better one and get yourself some marketing deals and play football because that's what you agreed to do. If he had a contract and it wasn't honored, different story. Rashada, see, people were comparing this to Rashada at Florida. Rashada had a contract and Florida broke it. That's the difference. He had one. Florida broke it. This kid did not have a contract. You got to play. You got to play. But we'll get the crowd to stay longer. Lane calling them out or an opponent's insider calling them out. Neither one. The game being better. That's what will get people to stay. It'll be a 70-degree day, as Edward says. And if the game is close, people will stay. If Ole Miss is winning by 40, people will leave early. If it's a quality opponent, people will stay. If it's Furman, people will leave. Your only thing about the whole red shirt to transfer thing is that the only way for the NCAA to fix it is to take away the red shirt rule, affecting everyone over a few players trying to make a buck. Yeah, and then they can't do that because they'll get sued and they'll lose again. You're so ready to see this game. I am too. I am too. And yes, that hurricane in Florida is an ugly, 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 ugly one. Ooh, it's brutal. But anyway, if I missed your comment, I'm sorry. As just, you know, we got a Kentucky fan in here thinking that the Wildcats have a chance. And I understand why, because they certainly do if they play well. But I'm just not totally convinced that he's got Ole Miss pegged the way he thinks he does. But that's okay. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, including me, and I am often wrong. So maybe this guy will be right this time. I don't think so, but maybe. Anyway, thank you guys so much. We will, of course, have post-game content after Ole Miss and Kentucky, and then the live stream on Sunday as usual. Thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy your what should be a beautiful weather weekend in Oxford. Score predictions, drop them. Drop them right now. Score predictions for a hat from College Corner. The first one has been sent. You should be getting it soon. The second one, you will be getting an email tomorrow morning so I can send you that one. And this will be for the third hat giveaway. Drop your score predictions. If I hang up before you're able to get yours in, that is totally fine. Just leave a comment. It is all the same. So you don't have to write it live. If you are listening, you can send me an email, Borky@supertalk.fm. Last week's winner got it exactly right in my email inbox the morning of the game. The morning of the game, he got it right. So, anyway, you guys are the best. Again, if you don't get it in time, that's fine. I will see it if you just drop it like a regular comment. All good. I will see you guys after the game.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.